Welcome. This is Murky Chronicles 38. I am thy follow, the Butcher Dabashi.
And I am Gorgeous Kenny Roberts.
Hey, yes, you are.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing. Listen, we would just want to apologize. Our guests will not be on again. You know, it's no one's fault. Just scheduling. But podcaster and paranormal investigator Bob Gilmer will be on soon. But we do have a couple of great guests. And we have another episode from 1974 CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So how's your arm going, Gorgeous Kenny Roberts?
Healing slowly, but, trying to keep the faith, man. Hopefully I'll be back up and doing push-ups soon.
Yeah, push-ups, yep. Well, what else has been happening during the week? Anything besides you rehabbing your arm? I could give you a couple exercises, you know.
All right. No, I don't think I'm not ready for that quite yet.
Yeah, we're recording on Zoom, but we're just uploading the audio and you know, I'm giving some hand gestures, you know, nothing racial or nothing like that, but I'm just trying to give them some exercise pointers.
Gotcha.
But guess what? Well, you kind of know, but I believe next Wednesday or Wednesday coming up, I believe it's April 5th. Myself and referee Danny Lincoln from Canada and my mentor Abdullah the Butcher was on Talk is Jericho, and it tells about the Abdullah the Butcher story, about his career and, you know, what he's going through right now, and it was pretty intriguing, so I'm kind of pumped. And Jericho was a class act, and I just want to tell him thank you for getting his story out.
Brother, you got to be a little more excited than that. You were on Talk is Jericho. That's big news, man.
Oh, I am, but I'm so just kind of laid
that's
back.
That's exciting news, man. Congrats on that, and I hope you got your message out there. And I can't wait to listen to it.
And there's a couple other excitement things that happened. I mean, got a little under control, and there was a special match possibly booked. So stay tuned and check out Talk is Jericho.
Awesome.
You've got mail.
You know what that means? Before we get to our guests, I have an email that I want to read and maybe we could answer. What do you think, Gorgeous Kenny?
That sounds like a great idea, Dave. Well, let's do it.
All right. This one is from Sarah Valuet. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Oh, just my headphones going wacky. But Sarah Valuet, thank you, sweetie, for emailing murkychronicles@gmail.com. And it says, hey, Kenny and Dayfala, love the Murky Chronicles. Have you guys ever had an out-of-body experience that you cannot explain? If not, has anyone you know ever had an out-of-body experience? Keep up the good work, guys. Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
Out of body. That's a question there. I'm going to have to say no. I mean, I've had, deja vus. There's been times I've driven my car and I don't know, I don't even remember driving home. But as far as out of body, no, I have not, and I know you get into this little mind state when you're commuting a couple hours a day, you kind of just zone out and all of a sudden, boom, you're at your final destination going, well, how did I get there? So that's the closest thing to checking out or being out of body. I don't know, but what's your thoughts? What do you got?
Well, I had a few out of body experiences.
About when you're on the toilet.
Well, I toilet. This ain't toilet music.
Oh my goodness.
No. But all jokes aside, I don't know if I had any, but I've said this before. I witnessed, my cousin was down at the mosque and he had videotape an exorcism, and it was pretty wild. And I explained it in one of our past episodes, but real quick, and my cousin filmed, normally I would be there, but I didn't know about this exorcism, and he videotaped it on his phone. It was years ago. And I told him, a couple months ago, if you can find the footage, but there's this guy and the sheikh, the imam, he, you know, like the minister of the mosque, went to this guy and he didn't speak very good English. You know, he had heavy accent, whatever, but he had about 15 guys hold him down on the ground and they could barely keep him down. And what they did, they put a glass of water at the end of his body by his foot. And then the sheikh kept on asking the jinn, the person that was in him possessed, questions. And the guy, it took 15 to 20 men to hold him down. I mean, this guy was no more than 150 pounds. And then the guy started talking in different languages, and he didn't know any other language. He knew some English. And finally, he asked the demon inside a few questions, and it went on for like 20 minutes and looked like just on TV, like something's going to burst out. It was kind of scary. And then the reason they put a glass of water on the, you know, by the bottom of his foot is when the, you know, the devil or whoever was inside him that possessed him, when he left the body, he was supposed to leave and hit the glass of water and tip over. And that's what it did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there was no one by the water or nothing, but it was pretty intense. But I had my cousin, you know how you have videos on your phones, you know, this is probably 2006-ish or 2007-ish. And he said he was going to look for it, but it would be nice to have it. I would love to.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So that was like a real out of body experiences that I witnessed that someone else had.
Right. That's a great question. Apologize. I don't have much to bring to the table on that one.
Yeah.
But that's something we can bring a topic up on a later, on another show, and maybe we get some more people telling stories.
That's right. That's right.
On that topic. So that's a great one. Thank you, Sarah, for the email.
Yes. Thank you very much. And if you have any more, send them your way to Murky Chronicles. Send them our way to murkychronicles@gmail.com. And, we encourage any comments or questions, and I guess we'll get right to our guest, huh?
Gotcha. One more thing, and we really didn't talk about this, but we had a sad thing happen in one of the major rock bands this last week. The drummer died for the Foo Fighters, Taylor. Yes. Hawkins. The guy, quite a talent. He's 50 years old, young man. Sad to hear him passing. You know, my condolences go out to his family, and it's it's a sad time, I tell you. Yeah. Great band.
Well, let's take a moment of silence before we get to our guests.
All right, today we have a special guest, Micah from Savage Reviews. He's got a couple of stories for us, Bigfoot and UFO, I believe it is. So,
what's up, Micah?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, before you start your story, can you give a Savage Review on gorgeous Kenny Roberts?
All right.
Oh, my goodness. He's savage, too. Brutal.
We trimmed the hair a bit. You know, we don't got the full surfer look going, but got a clean shave. Looking good. Looking fit.
No, not. Well, the cheeseburger diet. All right.
Yeah, so, dude. Stoked to be on the show, guys.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
It's been a process to get us all together on the same time. So it's good. We got you here and locked in, and let's hear these stories, Mike. I'm excited to hear them.
Yeah. So, I got two. I got a Bigfoot one. And then I got a UFO one from when, I was younger in Arizona. So yeah. What one do you guys want to hear first?
Surprise us.
Surprise. All
yeah.
Right. Let's do Bigfoot. That one's Bigfoot. My favorite.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
So, I think the year was 2015. My cousin was out visiting, And it was his first time in Arizona, and he wanted to go up in the mountains, you know, check it out, because he's from Minnesota. There's no mountains out there. It's super flat, like farm fields. So we load up the truck with all the camping gear and stuff, and it was a spur of the moment. So, like, I forgot all kinds of stuff. I forgot my gun. We forgot a bunch of food. And we load up, we go, it was like, I want to say it was like the week after 4th of July. And, we head up to, the mountains, and we set up camp, and we got there kind of late. Didn't really like check the area out too much, right on the river, and it got dark out. We got the fire going, and my wife was getting up to go head over to the tent, and something, cause our tent was set up real close to the woods, and something like, you could feel like something like stood up and broke branches and turned around. And it sounded like a freight train running through the, woods. It was super intense. It freaked all of us out, from it. And, yeah. So then like the next morning, you know, we went over there and checked the area out, and there was like a bedded down grass spot right by our camp. And there was a bunch of broken limbs and stuff like that. But the rest of the night, we didn't hear nothing, see nothing. I didn't see anything in the morning, but definitely freaked us out.
Nice. Nice. Did you smell any odor, or did you see, you know, see anything move out in the brush, or, you know, feel any stomping or rock throwing?
No, that was the crazy thing, was we didn't smell anything, and he was, for him to be that close, I mean, it had to be like 15 feet, and like, we didn't hear anything. That's what tripped me out, how close it was, you know. And then like, when we stood up to walk towards the tent, it just was like a freight train running through the woods.
That's awesome. So I believe this probably was a Bigfoot encounter, but what makes you think it was a Bigfoot and not another animal?
Yeah, no, like, that's what we were kind of saying, like maybe like an elk or something, but I don't know, the way that thing broke limbs and stuff down there, it was, and I mean, usually like elk and stuff, they're usually in a herd, they're in a pack, right?
Right.
Yeah, and like, this was just one freight train sound I could hear going through.
So was the brush like, because was it the brush like someone like had broke it with their hands, like a way elk wouldn't be able to do it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, when you brush, like go running and bust through like little twigs and stuff, right, like that. It was like that. Like, it took off with a lot of force. It was like some good sized twigs. Sweet. Branches, I mean, that the thing broke, took off running.
Sweet. Any footprints? Any, you know?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Can you just jump in?
It's all good. Steal the thunder, brother.
I was like all into the story. So I, you know.
No, it's good, man. Yeah, no. Anything at all? You know, no footprints? You didn't see anything? Or
no. So like, the camp, it was right next to the river, and the river kind of swept up behind the camp. So it was kind of like swampy. And right where it had happened, it broke through and then like went into the water. So I didn't see any footprints or anything like that.
So you say Arizona and woods. So where are you at exactly in Arizona? So that's usually not a thing.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. So it's my bad. It was Idaho.
Oh, Idaho. Okay.
Oh, Idaho. Okay. That makes more sense.
Okay.
I was starting to say the story. My wife stored her hands and stuff, and I was like, I can't stop. I started.
It's okay. Well, it goes to show you we're listening to you. So, so Idaho. So that, okay, I get you now.
Yeah. We're out in Idaho. We're out in Idaho.
Right below Atlanta. So it's about an hour or so north of Boise, and it's north of Idaho City. So it's up there as a ways. There's really no big, especially in that stretch of area, there's really no big cities or nothing like that.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty wooded there, Dave. If you'd want to do a Sasquatch hunt, that would be a spot to go. We should go check out. I've done some dirt bike riding up there. It's like pretty, there's not much up there. Just a lot of woods.
I mean,
nothing compared to Washington woods though. It's not like thick that. The trees are a little more separated. It's not the thick forest, but it's definitely.
I mean, that sighting, I mean, that encounter, I mean, makes sense to me, because when I had my encounter, it was next to the Hood River, so it was right by the water source. And plenty of food, vegetation, fish, who knows, berries or whatever. I mean, water, they got to drink, right?
Yeah. You know, the thing too, I thought about it, it took me a while to think of it, it was how quiet it was that night. Like, you literally, the only thing you heard was the fire going.
And if it was an animal, you'd probably, you know, it'd probably be more rustling around, right?
Yeah. I would have definitely have heard it if it was gotten that close. And we did set up during the day. And, like, I didn't see, I mean, I would have seen a Bigfoot chilling right there, you know? So it had to have come sneaking up in the night like that, getting that close to the camp.
Oh, that's awesome. You not having any guns or anything like that, it's like, man.
Well, and we're
it's a good thing you didn't have any food.
Yeah.
If it was looking for anything, you know, I mean, you know, but no, that's crazy.
Well, I won't go camping without a gun. Screw that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
No, you can't anymore.
No.
I think the other campers are more dangerous than the animals, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have it for the animals, but, you know, it's dangerous going camping, especially when you're like a park ranger. That's one of the most dangerous jobs, you know?
Mm-hmm. You never know what kind of hillbilly you're going to meet.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, and we love hillbillies.
They're hiding from something.
We love hillbillies, but, you know, fugitives.
exactly.
Oh, real quick. Like when you can... I'm sorry, real quick, since you brought up hillbillies. Now, do you know, you ever watch, like, Looney Tunes, and they show these retarded rednecks acting goofy and retarded?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You've seen those, right?
Politically incorrect.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and hillbillies kind of got that stigma. So I was watching a documentary, and you know why they got that stigma, or why, you know, people thought of them as, you know, crazy and, you know, mentally challenged, was because they would walk around barefoot, and I forgot what it was. And they'd have these kind of worms or something that go up into their feet and, you know, eventually goes up to their brain, and I don't know what it does to them. So then of course they start getting kind of crazy. So I don't know. I just thought I'd add that in. I just learned that a while back.
That's a weird little tidbit you got there.
Well, he said hillbillies and they, you know, rednecks and hillbillies got that stigma on them. And they were saying that's how they got it, because they'd be walking around, you know, in their neck of the woods barefooted, and and it's not ringworm. It's, I forgot what it was. It might've, and you know, and just went up, and then they start getting goofy and stuff. And that's how they got it. So sorry, you said hillbilly, and
that's cool. I never knew that.
Yep. I just want to act intelligent, I guess.
No, I got super excited when he was talking Arizona, because man, I know there's a lot of, you know, a lot of Native American, history back there. So I mean, is your other story linked into Arizona, or was that just kind of
Arizona?
So perfect. So we'll go there later. So you got any more to add on this one, or that's pretty much it? Did you guys take off after that, or
we stuck it out, spent the night, woke up, it was kind of weird, you know, like we all were a little weirded out.
You didn't try and search it out?
No, like, well, we were,
again, you weren't packing, right? So
yeah, we were kind of freaked out too. So
I get that.
Yeah, and it's like in a deep canyon, this river. So I mean, like, you to run up the hillside or wherever he took off, there's no way I could do it.
Gotcha.
You got to have some athleticness.
Oh yeah, awesome. To me that sounds like a prime, you know, place for a Bigfoot to hide out. I mean, got, you know, everything. Right there, access to them.
Yeah. And there's I know there's like some old mining claims and stuff up there. And I know there's a lot of caves and stuff like that back up in there too.
Then we should go check it out, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we should go up. We should go up and check it out. I mean, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Nice, nice. You guys want to hear a Bigfoot joke?
Go ahead.
What do you call a Bigfoot in Europe?
I don't know. What do you call a Bigfoot in Europe?
Big meter.
Oh, my
goodness. Man.
I'm sorry.
That's a good dad joke. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's awesome, man. I wonder if you could eat a Bigfoot.
I don't know. I'm sure. Like an ape-like creature. Don't they eat, like, chimps and stuff like that over there and the other countries and stuff like that? Yeah,
but that'd be... But I don't know. That's too much like cannibalism, I guess.
Yeah.
They gotta eat, though.
Yeah. That's awesome. So anything else happen on that you know, Bigfoot encounter?
No, not much after that. I mean,
You haven't been back since to that spot, or
I have not gone to that spot. Okay. I've gone past that spot. I just keep driving.
Okay. Yeah, we should check it out for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. That'd be cool. Sweet. Yeah. Well, right on, man.
Yeah. Sweet.
Well, let's hear this UFO one, man. Let's go. I'm excited.
Hey, I got a UFO story. Right. I mean, I got a UFO joke before we start.
Oh no. Here we go.
What's the difference between a smart blonde and a UFO?
I don't know.
There have been sightings of UFOs.
Oh, good.
That was lame.
Okay.
Okay,
so one more. And I love blondes, but this is the only ones I could pull up, so it's not my fault. What do smart blondes and UFOs have in common? You always hear about them, but never see them.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'll stop.
That's all you got? Man.
Okay, one more then.
Huh. Let's go.
Because I love blondes. I have never seen a UFO before because I'm always able to correctly identify the flying object. All right.
Oh,
see the struggles I have. I don't have my own sound effects, man.
Okay, I'll shut up. I got it out of my system.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so my UFO one, that is in Arizona.
Okay.
So that's the right state.
No, you're good. You're good.
I was out in the desert. We lived kind of up by, Sedona, the Red Rock, real hippie, like a lot of people love to go there, do rock stuff and all that.
Cool.
We were out dirt biking out that way, and it was dark out. And we got up onto this big ridge, and we were up there hanging out, checking out the stars and stuff. And my dad had pointed out this one that was, it looked like it was moving. And we were sitting there, and he had one of his buddies, and we started watching it. And this thing started like going side to side, up and down. Like the maneuvers it was doing was like insane. Like I don't know how like a person in an aircraft could like survive moving this fast. And it's going side to side, and we're checking it out, and it's like it's getting closer to us, and then all of a sudden it stops. It's in the middle of the air. It's not moving, and instead of it being like a bright light anymore, it starts flashing, and it flies over us, and it sounds like a jet plane, just, and it flies past us. And I mean, it was probably doing these maneuvers for about 5 minutes, like these insane crisscross like patterns and all that. It was pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
So I don't know if...
Was there just one?
It was just one. And, like, at first we were tripping out because we thought it was, like, a shooting star or something. But then, like, the way this thing was moving was... We're like, no, shooting stars don't do that. And then it, like, flies over and it sounds like a jet. That was... So, like, we always figured it was, like, something military that the military had, you know, that they didn't release or... tell anybody about.
Did you get to see that? Was it at night or in the daylight?
It was nighttime. Yeah. And when it flew over, it had a flashing light like a jet and everything, and you could hear the from the jets taking off.
Wow.
But like when it was doing all its maneuvers, it was a solid light and it was moving super fast when it was doing these I mean, like, it would go like sideways and it would do a completely stop and then it'd shoot straight down.
Oh, so it really wasn't fast. Moving like an airplane. It was doing some maneuvers.
Yeah, like
Wow.
It was, yeah, like a square. It was like doing these crazy things. It wasn't like how an airplane would move at all.
Wow.
Kind of deal.
Wow.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like the one that I had was, I was just stargazing out my yard one night, and I saw this. I thought it was like a shooting star. I was kind of just shooting across the sky, but it stopped. And it went like a hard 90 degrees in the opposite direction. And it kind of did a zigzag formation, and then it just took off. Wow. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. It was like, my niece was watching it with me, and she went in the house. She got scared. She goes, I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Like, wow. I remember we live over by Fort Lewis, and I remember this is before anyone knew anything about the stealth bomber. And I remember the thing is huge, and it was not more than 200 feet above our house. I mean, it was close. Next thing you know, it kind of turned dark, and I looked up, and you just see this triangle thing floating over us. I mean, you couldn't hear it, and it freaked me out. And come to find out, it was on the news. It was the stealth bomber. You know, they were flying the stealth bomber. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Have you seen one of those fly, Micah? Those things they're amazing, man. Yeah. Living by the Air Force base, to see some cool stuff, man.
Yeah. Amazing. That's cool.
When we lived out there, my dad, he's seen a lot of weird stuff like that. He would drive from, we kind of lived in the middle of Arizona, and he'd drive way up north, kind of like almost into Utah. And there'd be big stretches of desert where there's nothing. And he had all kinds of stories of like big airplanes coming down and buzzing them at night, right on the highway and stuff like that.
Really? Well, wonder if there's a military base close by.
Yeah, something up there.
Were you guys close to the Superstitious Mountains? Did you ever...
I don't think so.
I think that's closer to Phoenix,
yeah.
I believe, but I'm not real sure the coordinates where you're at. But I hear that there's a lot of stories tied into that mountain range.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. That is way cool. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah. I know, like, the SR-71 Blackbird, like, I think that plane's, like, super old. And, like, mm-hmm. they didn't release it until, like, you know, whenever the year was. But they had it for so long. And that was one thing my dad always said was like, you don't know what they got kind of deal, you know, like the stuff they release and show us is probably, you know, old and outdated or something that the military's got stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's too many spies watching, man. You never know what's out there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Nice.
Way cool, man. Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, for coming on, I mean, you know, once you're done with your stories, you're more than welcome to do some shout outs. If you want to do some shout outs.
Unless you have any more stories. You have any more stories?
If you got more, bring it on.
Those are like the only like real two like big ones that I got. I don't really, I don't got much else that sticks out to me.
All right, well, go ahead and go for your shout outs and plugs.
I'd like to do a shout out to the gorgeous Kenny and Difla the Butcher for having me on. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Love the podcast.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you for coming on.
Anything else?
Anything else? Come on now.
You want to plug your lovely wife?
But shout out to my lovely wife, Kira. Keeps the house clean. Keeps me in check.
All right.
Awesome.
Anything else?
Well, one more thing. You know, one thing. You know, he's kind of modest, but back in the early 2000s, he was in a boy band. With his brothers. They were called the Brothers Munion.
No way, really?
Check them out.
Definitely got to find some.
Just a joke.
No. We definitely got to find. Was this one of his tunes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Micah played the bass. He was slapping the bass, man.
I guess we could end on that note, huh?
That's it, man.
All right. Well,
thanks again for coming on, brother. Appreciate it.
Remember, Micah Savage Reviews. Check it out. Or he may review you. We have Coach Mike Jones, coach with the most from coast to coast. He don't like to boast. The leader of the New School Army and the leader of NGW. And he has a special guest with him. And I forgot the little puppy's name.
That's Stanley Dejo from the Real School Army, baby.
That's right.
All right. Welcome on, Mike.
Ruff, ruff, hey, ruff, nice, to, ruff, ruff, ruff. Nice to be on there.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, I guess you got some stories for us to fit right in with our episode this week. So, do you have anything you want to say, Kenny, gorgeous one, for the coach with the most before he starts?
No, again, welcome on, Coach Mike, and I'm excited to hear your stories, man. Let's get right at it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's an honor and privilege and blessing to be on. I loved working with you guys in the past. I want to continue to work with you guys in the future, and thanks for having me on. But, yes, I got some crazy-type stories. When I was a teenager, a friend of mine was in a group home in Port Orchard. And this was a crazy deal where at this group home, it's a deal where it's like if you come from downtown to get there, there's a trail you can take that's about a 4-block long trail.
Where was this
or
at?
You can go
where what's
Port Orchard.
Okay, Washington, right? Port Orchard. Okay,
Port Orchard,
yeah.
Off of Sedgwick Road Sydney Hill there.
Nice.
Okay. So you can go through this trail that's like a 4-block long trail, or you can go around, which is like twice as long. So usually every time we would go through this trail. And right as you go through this trail, you look to the left about, it's only about 100 yards in from the entrance. There's two graves right there. And one, they were so old, like one of them was caved in a little bit. I'm sure no one dug them up or nothing, but you could see it was caved in a little bit. Nobody really messed with them. But the point of the story was, before my friend got to this group home, the crazy kids at the group home were doing seances and shit, trying to contact the dead people from the grave.
No way.
Yeah, and they were using the Ouija board. And the story I get was the Ouija board did not like this situation because it kept flying off on no, no, no. But they wouldn't take no for an answer, and they just kept messing with it and trying to get answers from the Ouija board. They said that it kept saying no so many times until finally, apparently, some ghost-like figure, some Indian, they said it was, appeared in the room. There was three of them. And it knocked the guy back, the guy who was running the Ouija board.
Uh-huh.
And they all were scared. They were scared shitless. And where the moral to that part story was, they said that that kid that was running the Ouija board sat in his room speechless in shock for like 3 days.
No way.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Okay, and then, so I used to go there and visit and stuff all the time. And then there was stories about like, it was a two-storied big old house, you know, with like 10 rooms for all the kids can sleep in there. And they had bunk beds so they could have like 20 kids. When I say kids, these are teenagers, like high school age. And there was one situation. My friend said he was sitting there watching. They used to watch wrestling all the time. And this big kid, man, he's built like Stan the Man Stasiak. And that kid there, this don't really have much to do with that story, but it was just another weird thing that happened. Where he was built like Stan the Man Stasiak. My friend was only like 170 pounds, but he played sports in for South Kitsap and stuff. So he was no slouch, but he's sitting there watching wrestling. And that kid that was as big as Stan Stasiak comes up from behind him on the couch and starts choking him.
No.
Because like apparently he didn't like wrestling or something, you know, and nobody could see this happening.
What?
And that kid, I can't remember his name, but he was in there for manslaughter. He like stole the car in Wenatchee and killed somebody.
What?
From running from the police. Yeah, so that's That's the type of guy that big guy was, you know?
Dang.
And so he was like jealous of my friend. But anyway, my friend finally, he didn't choke my friend out. But my friend finally broke loose and turned around and said, "What the fuck you doing, dude?" He goes, "You keep your fucking hands off me." And then, of course, he didn't have any more problems with that guy. But then other times, like my friend said, he's down there watching TV. And the staff looked up at his room because you could see there was like a hallway that led to the room. And it was wide open. So you can see the hallway and the doors from upstairs there. The staff was freaked out because what they said they seen was a shadow walk down the hall towards their room. And they're like, "Hey, what was that? Get over here." And then they had somebody walk down the hallway to see if it looked the same. You could not know it did not look the same because apparently some type of ghost walked down the hallway.
Wait, so was your friend possessed?
No, my friend was. Oh, and my friend, he was a Christian, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, see, the people in the place, dude, of course, dude, he would, like, tell the staff and shit and say, "Hey, look." Oh, they were all fucking making fun of him and shit, saying, "Oh, we're going to have a seance on you and shit like that." And so my friend went and told the staff, and they go, "Man, these guys said they're going to have a seance to me and shit." The staff guy goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to join them." Fucking jerk.
Wow.
So then here's the main reason I'm got my Murky Chronicle story, brother. So I got to come over there one weekend in the summer. Like, my friend had been there months. And so they let the whole place sleep outside with the bonfire and shit. And I got to stay with them, and man, you should already know. These guys are high as a kite. Everyone's drunk. A couple of these guys are on acid and shit, okay? And I'm trying to go to sleep, and this guy, this little guy, he's like sign guy size. He's on acid and shit, and he's like trying to scare me before I go to bed. He even comes up to me with a hatchet and goes, "I'm going to kill you." I said, "Dude, you get the fuck away from me right fucking now. I ain't fucking playing." So when I told him that, he stopped, okay? So now I fell asleep. I think I was the first one to fall asleep, too. Everyone else was still partying and drunk and shit. And, of course, they got loud music going on. They got this huge bonfire. Dude, here's how I woke up. I woke up to... everyone is gone. My friend, you know, they like, I guess the story is, I woke up out of a sleep, sat up and pointed over at the woods there and said, "It's over there." Soon as I said that, they said a bear ran off through the, that was what they described it as. A bear ran off through the woods with breaking branches and shit. So, I woke up to everyone was gone, and if it wasn't for my friend, they would have left me out there. Because when I woke up, I didn't remember saying that, you know. But all of a sudden, he like grabbed me by the hand and, "Come on, let's go. What? What's going on? Come on, something's out here." Everyone else was gone.
Wow.
So that's my Murky Chronicle story.
Right on. Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You have any more?
You had a good friend, man. That's for sure. He didn't leave you out there.
And I got one more sort of, it's not really a Bigfoot or Murky Chronicle story, but it's sort of that way. What the deal was, so out of high school, I went up to Alaska and started working. I started off as a processor. Man, that is a crazy job, dude, where they have that's like the biggest turnover in history, dude. People do not stay because it's hard as fuck.
Right.
And the conditions really suck, right? And then they get everybody. The deal is they fly you up there. If you don't last 4 months, they fly you back home, all right. But guess what? You paid for your flight there and back. You basically come home with no money. And then I admit too, dude, I'm out of high school. My mom died when I was 18. I graduated high school. Once my mom died, my dad kicked me and my brother out. I was like homeless for a couple months, and I was still going to high school because, of course, I got free lunch and I got and all the girls and shit. And I played sports, and it was I was out of the rain, you know. And then, of course, you know, when I say homeless, only a few times I had to sleep outside in some random garages and abandoned cars and shit. Most of the time I was able to stay at different friends' houses and shit. But I didn't have a place to stay for at least 2 months. But the point was, so the point was, I probably would have quit too if I had a place to go. I didn't have no place to go, dude, okay? So I had to stay, and I can tell you right now, I admit, I'm standing there at about the two-month mark. My feet are fucking frozen, dude. You're working 12- and 18-hour shifts every day, no days off, okay? My feet are fucking frozen, dude, and I'm, like, hating life. I am actually crying, dude, because I'm, like, I'm going, like, 1 mile an hour because I'm hating life. And I'm like, I'm going to quit, but I'm not a quitter, and I had no place to go. Finally moved to different positions, so it made it easier. I wasn't just a giller standing in the same spot. When they throw the crab sections to you, you have to pick it up
right
and brush off the gill. So now I got to butch and do packing and do offloading and loading. Dude, I even had the world record. I unloaded 12 90-pound baskets in 36 seconds. The record was like 65 seconds.
What?
I beat it first at 60 seconds. Then I got to 51, and I had a technique where I'd spin this carrier around, and fucker first one would be flying off. I'd catch it in midair and throw it around. I got it down to 36 seconds. But anyway, the whole point of this is, dude, this place was ruthless, dude. This processor, you had this crazy Japanese cook, dude, that he was a fucking drunk and an asshole. And when you come in to get your food, he not only are you're in a fucked up deal with fucked up conditions, dude, you got the cook is trying to fuck with you too, dude. They're feeding you gourmet meals, dude. All you can eat, 16-ounce steaks and shit. That's all fine and dandy. But you come in to get your meal, and this fucking crazy cook, hit the beach, motherfucker! He's yelling in your face, dude. And most people are like, dude, I'm not up with this shit. They are hitting the beach, okay, because they want to go home, okay? And even this one guy, he was like a two-year veteran. He got, somehow the cook didn't like him. One more hit the beach. He just took his tray full of food, frisbeed it against the wall. He's done and out of there. Okay, but I know it's sort of a long-winded story. But then not only did you have the cook telling you to hit the beach, you had the fucking boss guy. His name was Kenny Kendall. Another guy about sign guy size, dude. But he's crazy as fuck because I'm sure he's high as hell off cocaine and shit, right? And, dude, these guys, it's like a competition, dude. Everyone was going as fast as you could. And then you're doing this for 12, 18 hours, dude. I mean, it was remarkable, dude, how you could go that fast that long. And, for example, everything was a competition. Like, Kenny Kendall would come out there and he's butchering world record amount of crabs, 18 crabs per minute, dude. You know, picking one up, busting it over the axe, and throwing the sections over to the gillers. And here's how you know how everyone's doing good, dude. If I'm gilling and he's butching, if I got a 3-foot pile in front of me, guess what? He's smoking the shit out of me. If I have no sections in front of me, I'm smoking him. Okay? So the whole moral to that story is once in a while, Kenny Kendall would come out there and start fucking busting crabs. And he's yelling the same fucking shit at these people. Hit the beach, motherfucker! Dude, I mean, I'm amazed no one fucking killed this guy, okay? Okay, so now I'm in like my second year there, and I finally made it to a different place, and actually I'm in salmon season for a different company. Oh, no, back to that company. Dude, I was at that company until The next year, we worked 90 days in a row until the ship crashed in St. Paul Island, Alaska. 100-mile-an-hour winds parked the ship on the – grounded the ship on the shore, dude. It took us 2 days to abandon ship because you got to wait till the fucking storm dies down. Okay, and also, dude, it was like a scam, dude. We had 18 boats lined up to give us crab. All those guys got the memo that the fucking storm's coming and moved to the other side of the island. Apparently, we didn't get the memo with our 350-foot ship. And then apparently the captain goes to sleep and puts the deckhand on wheel watch. The story is he fell asleep, didn't get the memo. Here comes these 100-mile-an-hour winds, parks our ship on the fucking shore. And it was basically a scam. They had $1 million of crab in the fucking freezer. They got insurance for. And then when you abandon ship, you can't take no stuff with you. I had like fucking all kinds of shit that I brought up there because I was like, man, I'm living in style up here. Couldn't take none of it. And then they said, oh, don't worry. Just give us a list. You'll get your money back. Didn't get my money back for none of it. So anyway, now I'm at a whole different company because that ship crashed. It took them like a year and a half to find a new ship. Well, I guess I can go into that too. So we finally, a year and a half later, I know, long-winded as hell, sorry. We got to go to Mississippi to get the new boat. Oh, and dude, these boats were the death boats from World War II. They used to transport dead bodies from the war. Now they turned them into processors. So they had probably some, what do you call it, murky stuff involved with them. But we got to go to Mississippi, get the new ship, get it going. We had all these Southerners, dude. They hated us because we talked different. I'm a Yankee, they called me. And they would treat you like shit. Dude, it's more racist than blacks and whites in Tacoma, dude. You know? And then I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up, dude. I told the guy. And then one time, I had a fucking 8-hour videotape of heavy metal music that we had in the galley. They threw that motherfucker overboard because, and all of a sudden I seen those guys in the galley and I was like, what the fuck? You threw my fucking ape overboard, motherfucker. It ain't my fault you forgot to record the Nashville Network, motherfucker. Right then the guy pulled us out a knife on me and fucking was going to stab me, which I ain't scared of that. I kicked that shit out of his hand. But my buddy steps right in between us and he fucking pulls out a knife. I'll take care of it. They back down. The point to that was my buddy ended up getting killed in a fire in Tacoma when the ship got to Tacoma.
Wow.
The ship caught on fire and my buddy got fucking killed in that. But anyway, now I'm at another company. Dave, oh my goodness, dude. Okay, almost done with the story.
What are you talking about? I'm enjoying it. Well,
yeah, that was great.
All right, so now I'm at another company during the time that they were looking for a new ship. I'm on the Aleutian Queen Seafoods, and it's summertime, and we're in salmon season down there in Steamboat Bay, Alaska. And then they would get times where you're slow. They weren't working 12, 18-hour days there because salmon season isn't as consistent as the crab is. But so they would let you go to shore. And so the whole place goes to shore. They're doing this crazy shit, making these bonfires with fucking huge logs that are like 8 feet tall, having like 7 of them, like a teepee, and making a bonfire underneath. They didn't realize that the fucking fire is going to catch some fucking logs on fire and they're going to fucking fall over and shit.
Anyone get hurt?
And then no one got hurt. But then the point of the thing was, and then, dude, alcohol is spot there, dude. And you got tons of money. And so somebody from the local, from the town there, they bring you booze and shit. And they go, I got Southern Comfort, $50. And you're like, hell yes. I'm buying a fifth of Southern Comfort for fucking $50. So we bought it. And now we're on this shore party. We're all drunk and hammered and shit. And here's the murky part of it. So what the deal was, they got the shore way down there, and we're like way up in the bushes, and it goes up like slight incline about 2 feet, two blocks up. And so we're way up there, and we can see the shit down there, the fire through the trees and shit. But all of a sudden, we see this little cave, right? And we're like, let's go in there. And I had the Fifth of Southern Cover in my hand, thinking like, I'm going to use this as a weapon. We go in this cave. I got a Bic lighter, and I'm in this cave, dude. We got halfway in it. And, dude, all these vines are just sitting, going down from, like, the grass up above. We got about halfway in there, and all of a sudden we realized, what the fuck? We're in a bear cave. We fucking turned around quick and started fucking running as fast as we could. Dude, it's pitch blackout, dude. I get about 50 feet out of there, and all of a sudden hit a log or something. That was my murky chronicle story for Alaska, being up in the bear caves.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sorry what? For the long-winded story.
Did you ever see a full moon?
Of course I did. Oh, I've seen yours, of course. Oh.
I love Zoom. But anyways, do you have any shout-outs and stuff you want to plug before you go?
I do, but one more story about Alaska real quick.
All right.
You know, they got the Northern Lights up there. They got the Northern Lights up there. And then also I worked in the deal in the summer where fucking light like 23 hours in the day, dude. You can't believe it. Like, I was I started at midnight till, right? So you go to bed, it's daylight. You get up to work. To get out there at midnight and it's still daylight. And it only turns dark for like an hour during the,
right.
About between 2 and 3 or something, you know? So that's weird. And then I never seen the Northern Lights except for one time I got to see them when, dude, I've taken the ships to Alaska and from Alaska many times. And I've flown from and to Alaska many times, but only one time when I was flying home in the middle of the summer, cool as fuck, got to see the Northern Lights. My description of it was I was on the right side of the plane so I could see out the window there. It took up the whole horizon and it was like all the way up, every different color, like like rainbows type thing. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. Nice. But my shout outs are, yes, Coach Mike Jones, the coach of the most, coming at you from coast to coast, live here in Puyallup, Washington on Murky Chronicles. Love this show. Love you guys. Debashi, you're the best. Gorgeous Kenny Roberts, you're like second best, brother, because of course, I'm forever indebted. I'm forever indebted to Dave. Dave got me into wrestling, got me started on training. So there's always going to be a big place in my heart for him. But you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter at Coach Mike Jones. Also, don't forget to check out the Real School Army in the NGW Green Room. And I'm the co-host of one of the longest and most episodes podcast, Turnbuckle Turmoil. They've been going 10 years strong now. We're on our 1,707th show today with wow. Nikki Six, who will be returning tonight at 11 p.m. Okay, and then don't forget to check out Sign Guy with his Sign of the Times. He's coming up with episode 525. Yep, and man, appreciate you guys, and I hope all the best for you guys.
Well, thank you, Mike, and, you know, it's great. You're out there promoting your stuff, and you keep on going no matter what obstacles people are throwing. You're just kicking the obstacles out of the way, and I'm proud of you, Mike, and I know Gorgeous Kenny Roberts is. Thank you.
Yep,
You're always welcome to come on with your awesome stories.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. Thanks anytime, so much, brother. You guys.
All right, you take care, man.
Take care. See ya.
All right. I'd like to thank Micah from Savage Reviews
and Coach Mike for being on today. We really appreciate your stories. And if you'd like to possibly be on our show, reach out to us on murkychronicles@gmail.com with any of your ideas. And we'll take a look at that and get back to you as soon as possible if you have questions or if you'd like to possibly be on the show and tell your story. So,
yeah, the crazier the better because we love craziness, don't we?
Absolutely. Bring it on. We like that crazy.
Well, you know what? I think before we get to our CBS Mystery Theater radio, story, I think we should just get right to our shout outs. What do you think?
Sounds good.
You want to go first?
Absolutely. I'd like to shout out to Lyrical Spit. Without Lyrical Spit, there would be no Murky Chronicles. So shout out to Dave Vladibashi for his genius ideas.
Well, thank you.
And bringing on the Lyrical Spit. Shout out to Micah over at Savage Reviews. Check him out. You heard his story today. Check him out on Gmail, and he's got a lot of goods and services, and you know he travels a lot. So if you got any questions on an area you live in, want to check out some restaurants or whatever, he may have been there. So check him out. And then, then I got Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels. He does a great job taking care of the animals here in the Boise area. So check him out. If you have a high maintenance animal, you can't leave home alone, he's the guy to go drop them off at so they get a little doggy daycare or overnight stay. So there you go. That's it for me. What do you got for us, Dave? Well,
hey, you forgot your sweet Lola Postry. You're stitching his bitching.
Oh my goodness, you just did it. So,
and you got on Joey Roberts on that, and you forgot your own business. What's up with that? Or did you do it?
I'm not doing any. I can't do any stitching right now. Oh, that's right. Bitching.
That's right. Well, I thought you did that so I could just say stitching is bitching.
Well, I like to hear you say it, but yeah, that's all right.
Stitching is bitching. Well, since I'm in the mood, let's get right to my shout-outs. The Sweet and Low Upholstery. They may be out of commission, but their stitching is bitching. And I want to give a shout-out to Tales from the Abyss, Pahu Rojo, and Jay Linderman, and also to my Lyrical Spit podcast, and to Murky Chronicles, and the world best co-host, gorgeous Kenny Roberts. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, brother.
And you can get all the podcast links at gmail.com. Oops, at lyricalspit.com. That was a flub. What else do I got? Oh, like I said, for all of our links, go to lyricalspit.com. Don't forget about our 24-hour hotline, 360-200-8779. Leave a message. You may just be right here on the show. And I want to give out a shout-out to Chris Jericho and to his band Fozzy. Thanks for being a great host. And be sure to check me out along with Abdullah the Butcher on Talk is Jericho. And hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill himself. And this is from CBS Radio Mystery Theater from March 2nd, 1974, The Sign of the Beast. Do you have anything else to add?
What happened to the banana quote, man?
Well, I was going to do that right after I say we'll be right back right after this brief commercial break. And one more thing. If she has an apple, she has a banana.
Banana!
I got a happy ending today.
Woo!
Yowie!
Zoinks!
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, Welcome to the sounds of suspense. Welcome to the world of your own terrifying imagination. So many catastrophic things happen in this world because a lady asks a gentleman a question and then refuses to accept his answer. For instance, the Lady Eve. What great harm could it do if I took just the tiniest bite of that apple? Or the lady named Pandora. Why would it be a calamity if I should sneak just a quick little peek into that box? Now add to the list a charming young lady named Millie. She also has a question.
Why can't I have the bracelet, Kevin?
It belongs to the temple.
Oh, nonsense. It's been lying here in the jungle for at least 1,000 years. Who'd miss it?
Its owner, the beast goddess.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
And you know what she does with people who steal her property. She turns them into animals.
Really?
Well, it's the local legend, Millie. Now, you just take that little bracelet off your arm and put it back exactly where you found it.
Sure.
Millie, I mean it.
Sure, Kevin. Sure.
Our mystery drama, The Sign of the Beast, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Lois Smith. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One. What is the difference between man and beast? There are those who ask, is there a difference? It wasn't very long ago that man himself was a beast, a carnivorous hunter with an insatiable appetite for raw meat. True, quite a bit has happened since. We've learned manners. We've invented civilization and culture. We've created a conscience, a code of morals, a system of ethics. But how deep do all these things go? Does the beast still slumber in each of us, waiting patiently, biding its time, ready at any moment to assert its mastery with fang and claw? This is going to be a very vital question for the very pretty and vivacious young lady who at this moment is riding in a helicopter. The copter is hovering over a large clearing deep in a South American jungle.
Here you are, Millie.
Thanks a million, Larry.
It's a sure bet Kevin and Professor Jorgensen won't thank me.
Better lift up out of here before they make you take me back.
You know, Millie, I don't think I'm doing you a favor.
Just toss my duffel bag over the side.
What's more, it could cost me my job. Company's coming.
And leading the parade, the adorable Kevin himself.
Well, all ashore is going ashore. This ship's sailing right now.
Thanks again, Larry. And if I ever leave Kevin, I'll marry you.
Gee, and I thought you liked me. Now jump out fast.
And furthermore,
you haven't even kissed me.
Look, I'm very angry about this, Millie.
You could still kiss me, Kevin.
You promised to stay at the base camp.
That was last week.
But we're moving into the jungle tomorrow.
Kevin, we've already been through all the arguments. Category A, danger from animals. Well, I brought the 405 Anson Carterets, and I'm a better shot than you are.
Now listen, Millie.
Category B, danger from rare, unknown, mysterious, incurable tropic diseases. You have just as much chance of getting one as I do.
Dr. Jorgensen will be furious.
Your Dr. Jorgensen is my Uncle Bert. I can handle him.
It isn't a matter of handling
people.
Well,
it's true, you know. Millie can always handle me.
Uncle Bert, I love you. Will you kiss to see me?
Dr. Jorgensen will have to radio that idiot Larry.
I'm not going back, Kevin.
Sir, won't you make her see reason?
I warned you about this, Kevin. Last year, when you said to me, how about an introduction to that good-looking niece of yours, I told you the problems, but you would have her.
And I'm worth it.
Oh, Millie, it's only because I love you so much.
Uncle Bert, why don't we leave Achilles here to sulk in his tent while you show me around the camp?
Oh, and there's somebody you should know, that tall, powerful-looking fellow. His name is Imara. He's our straw boss. I'm Mara. Whenever you want something done, you...
Yes, Dr. Jorgensen.
Amara, this is Kevin's wife. Her name is Millie.
How do you do, Amara?
It is an honor to meet you, Millie.
Amara is in charge of setting up, taking down, and moving the whole camp.
Ah, well, I can see he does a splendid job.
Oh, no, no. The fact is, he does a very bad job.
What? What did you say?
I said he does a poor and unsatisfactory job.
Uncle Bert.
No, it's the truth.
But everything looks to be so neat, so orderly.
Actually, Amara is unbelievably incompetent. He deserves to be fired.
I think that's unfair and heartless.
Excuse me, Millie. Amara, please go to Kevin's tent and bring Millie's .405 rifle.
Yes, Doctor. 8-1.
Uncle Bert.
No, before you say another word.
How could you be so heartless?
You must understand, Amara, his primitive superstitions, his beliefs.
But he's not some ignorant savage. You can tell by his speech. He's obviously educated. Must you insult him?
Millie, you simply cannot compliment these natives.
These natives? Oh, my, aren't we condescending. And why must we not compliment them? Will it spoil them as servants? Will it drive up the pay scale?
Oh, Millie, I... Where to begin? In Aymara's religion, he is surrounded by a host of jealous, angry, implacable gods and goddesses. They do not tolerate praise for human beings.
That's nonsense.
One man's nonsense is another man's devoutly held belief. You terrify Aymara when you praise him. Therefore, on this expedition, never. There's a charm in being quirky, kooky, offbeat. Just obey orders. Don't, under any circumstances, praise anybody. Understand?
Yes, Uncle Bert, I understand.
Things are bad enough. In the first place, you're a woman.
Well, I like that.
You need some prestige. That's why I sent him for the rifle. Hit some tin cans, break a few bottles at 300 yards, and you'll be one of the boys.
Uncle Bert, you actually are a male chauvinist. Who would have suspected it?
Well, I have to pack away my instruments. Can I trust you not to get into any trouble?
Implicitly.
Very bad shot, Millie.
And now, I'll break that bottle next to it.
Oh, that was terrible.
Not bad, if I do say so myself. And that's every bit of 250 yards. Now, you see those three cats?
You are a very poor shooter, Millie.
That's nothing. You should see me when I'm in practice. Oh, my. I didn't know we had children in the camp. Who's that youngster by the kitchen tent?
It is my little boy. He stays here with me till we leave the jungle.
What's his name?
His name is Aysara.
Aysara. Oh, what a lovely name.
No. No, it is an unpleasant name.
I should think you'd be proud.
Proud? Me? Proud? Why do you say I'm proud?
Oh, because he's such a handsome child.
No, he is plain, he is ugly.
And he seems so intelligent. Notice how patiently he lines up those stones and shells.
No, you're stupid, I swear to you. He has no sense. He disgraces his mother and me.
Well, what are you saying, Amar?
This child is a fool. Anyone can see that. Now, I must go.
Where?
I must go clean the rifle. I must go.
Well, oh, what made him so upset? Oh, now I remember.
Amira, you may serve the coffee.
I know the cuisine has left something to be desired these past few days, Millie.
Oh, none of this bothers me. I can live on tea and toast, fruit and vegetables.
By tomorrow sometime, we'll come to the ancient temple, the forbidden ground.
I have the cameras ready.
I must caution you, Millie. We were permitted to come here only because I promised the chief, who is my blood brother.
We do have a wild family, don't we?
That we will not defile the holy grounds. Now, all around you'll see scattered ornaments, bric-a-brac, all sorts of things. Touch nothing.
Uncle Bert, I hardly have to be told.
We can photograph anything, everything, but it all belongs to the goddess, the beast goddess.
It'd be dangerous to touch anything anyhow. You see, dear, this is very possessive.
I don't know why I have to be treated like a child and indoctrinated with lessons in basic honesty. I've been on digs with you before, Uncle
Bert. You take anything that belongs to the beast goddess, and she'll transform you into a wild animal.
What's that, Uncle Bert? Those drums.
You get used to it. It's just the native telegraph service.
What are they saying?
Oh, I never learned to read them exactly. I can just get the general idea. I think it's news of death.
Death?
Yes, it's someone's death.
How can you tell?
Well, the basic rhythm speaks of death. And since it's a very beat, it's probably, well, the death of a child.
A child?
Yes, I'm sure of it.
Millie, is something wrong?
Oh, I have a headache. I think I'd better turn in.
Amira, let's put the scaffold here. I want to climb this wall and study the inscription. Millie! Darling, you feel better?
Yes, I suppose so. I'll just have to live with this headache.
Helen, come here a minute.
Okay.
I'm Mara.
Yes, Millie.
Your little boy, Isara, he's dead, isn't he?
Yes. How did you know?
I know. I'm sorry.
I thank you.
I mean, I hope you don't...
Yes, Millie.
I hope you don't think I'm responsible.
Why should I think that, Millie?
Because... I don't know. Yes, I do. It's because I crazed him just a few days ago, and you seemed so upset about it.
I was upset?
Oh, yes, very much. And Dr. Jorgensen told me...
I know. I know what he told you. But my little boy, died of fever, the way so many children here do, suddenly without warning.
Then you don't blame me.
I blame you? No. I am not a...
I felt terrible.
I was afraid you might.
You see, in our culture, we believe in praise, especially when it comes to children. We automatically say nice things about children.
I understand. And have a gift for you.
For me?
We have a custom. When we make someone feel bad, we must give that person a gift. And the person must accept.
Oh, that's such a lovely bracelet. Where did you get it?
Here.
Oh, but we're not supposed to...
There are thousands, thousands of pieces of ornament. Who would know? Place it on your wrist. Ah, see how pretty it looks.
Oh.
Wherever you look, thousands of beautiful things. This is the very last. Besides, it is the custom. You see, you would have to explain why I gave it.
I understand.
And it would make them uncomfortable. Because everything they have come to believe about superstition would be wrong.
Millie!
What is it, Kevin?
Bring the camera. I want to shoot these inscriptions.
Thank you again, Amara. And it will be our secret. I'm coming, Kevin.
Yes. Go to him. Go to your husband, arrogant, heedless, ignorant woman. You have defied my gods and killed my son. Her punishment has been decreed. It has already begun.
Well, Aymara is obviously a man of parts, and he's already shown us quite a few of them so far. The punishment that has just begun will be expanded and continued when we return shortly with Act Two. Is it entirely valid to suggest that the best way to... There seems to be some historical basis for it. Archaeologist Kevin has ordered his wife Millie not to touch any of the artifacts or ornaments found in his latest discovery. And now, he finds it impossible to take his eyes off her wrist.
Is this the section of the temple wall you want me to film, Kevin?
Kevin, what are you looking at?
What's that on your wrist?
Oh, well, it's just...
Millie, Dr. Jorgensen told you, I told you, under no circumstances were you to touch anything.
Well,
you not only touched it, you're wearing it.
Look, the silly superstition.
Where did you get it?
Kevin, I don't like that tone of voice.
Hey, what are you two quarreling about?
Show him, Millie.
Oh.
Uncle Bert, listen.
I must ask you, Millie, where did you get it?
I found it.
You found it here?
Well, around.
Millie, I can tell by the workmanship. It was made by an ancient priest of the temple. It has the same symbols.
What's all the fuss?
Millie, I thought we all understood.
Why can't I have the bracelet?
Because it belongs to the temple.
Nonsense. It's been lying around the jungle for at least 1,000 years. Who'd miss it?
Its owner, the beast goddess.
Kevin, are you serious? Listen, go ahead, tell me the rest of it. Tell me she turns people who steal her property into animals.
Amira, let's put this...
We're looking a point, Millie.
If it were made of gold or silver or precious stones, I could understand, but it's just a twisted piece of copper.
Well, for all I know, we're being watched. If so, you can expect a poisoned arrow through your throat any second.
You know, I listened to the two of you, and I...
Millie, your trouble is that you don't listen.
Now, let's not have an argument. I gave my word. That's all there is to it. Millie, you will take that bracelet off your wrist and put it back. Put it back exactly where you found it.
Sure.
I mean it, Millie.
Well, sure, Uncle Bert. Sure.
Here. These are the symbols the Incas used for weddings.
Well, could they have originated this far north and east, Dr. Jorgensen?
Millie, photograph this section of the wall.
Yes, yes. I need some more film. I'll be back in a second.
Well, you don't have to go. We'll send a mirror.
No, no, it's all right. I just want to stop off at the kitchen tent. I think I need a snack.
We just had breakfast.
I know, but I'm hungry.
Are you sure you feel all right, Millie?
Oh, I'm fine. Just a little hungry. That's all.
Millie, about yesterday.
What about yesterday?
The bracelet.
Oh, that. Forget it, Uncle Bert.
I know that you see so much just lying around. It seems silly to make a fuss over some trinket, but...
I'm willing to forget it, if you are. Hi, Mara.
Yes, Millie.
Where's the cook?
He will be back soon.
I was wondering if there's anything to eat.
What would you like?
Well, I'd like some meat.
I could cook a slice.
Oh, would you please, Amara, and hurry.
Will this be enough?
Just throw it on the fire.
Yes, Millie.
That's good. Oh, that smells good. Be careful, don't burn it.
I just put it...
No, you're burning it. Amara, that's good, it's good. Right now, just the way it is. I tell you, it's fine.
Yes, Millie. Let me get you a plate and a knife and a fork.
Hurry.
Here you are, Millie.
I'll put up some more.
Kevin.
What is it, Amara?
You asked me to prepare a list of supplies for the helicopter.
Ah, yes, good. Let me write it down.
First, we need fresh meat.
Okay, fresh meat. Wait a minute. Didn't Larry fly some up just a couple of days ago?
Yes, Kevin.
Well, we should have at least enough for the rest of the week.
The cook says he has only enough for tonight's meal.
Oh, that's impossible.
Would you like to see, Kevin?
I take your word for it. But is someone stealing meat?
I cannot say, Kevin.
Well, I know we eat a lot of it, but still, I... All right, put down meat. And this time, get plenty of it.
Is there any more meat, Amara?
I will go see.
Meat since I've known you.
Aren't you going to finish yours, Kevin?
Well, I've had enough.
Let me have your plate.
The air out here must agree with you, Millie.
I'm starved, Uncle Bert. I don't understand it.
You must be famished. Honey, you haven't had meat in so long, you've forgotten how to eat it. You have to chew it before you swallow.
Excuse me. Here are some chops.
Those, oh, take them back. They're too well done. I want some rare.
I'm sorry. This is all we have.
Tell him to put up some more.
There is no more meat.
Well, that's right. Larry's due in with supplies in the helicopter.
When will he be here?
Well, I don't know. Sometime today.
Why don't I take the 405 and shoot us a deer or something we can eat?
Millie, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Now, why do you ask?
Well, don't snap my head off.
Millie, you'd better get some rest. You're tired.
I'm not tired. I'm hungry.
Millie, darling, something's wrong.
Why?
Well, because this isn't like you, that's all.
Gavin, I don't know. I have such a pain in my stomach.
What kind of pain?
Hunger. That's the only way I can describe it.
But you shouldn't be hungry.
I can't help it. I have this terrible craving for food. Oh, no, not for food. For meat. For red meat. Oh, Kevin. Uncle Bert, I'm frightened.
Take her to her tent, Kevin. Take her to her tent. We'll give her a sedative.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Maybe that'll be best. Maybe that pain will go away.
Yeah, come on, dear.
Oh, Kevin. Oh, Kevin. You'll wake me when Larry gets here in the helicopter with the meat.
Sure, sure.
Promise. Promise.
Yes, dear. I promise.
Is she asleep, Kevin?
Yes. Finally. Dr. Jorgensen, what's wrong?
I don't know.
I've never seen her hysterical. Are you as worried as I am?
I'm worried enough to want to get her to Rio, to a hospital.
Let's radio Larry to get that damn helicopter here pronto.
I just spoke to Larry. We have a problem. It seems the helicopter needs some repairs.
What kind of repairs, for God's sake?
I don't know. It was technical. Larry's working on it.
Larry, he's an idiot. If he hadn't brought her here,
it's our fault, yours and mine. We let her stay.
What are we going to do?
You say she's asleep. Well, all she needs is rest. Maybe when she wakes up, she'll be better.
Kevin.
I'm here, dear. I'm here.
Oh, I was so sleepy.
I know.
It's dark out. What time is it?
Well, it's almost midnight.
You let me sleep. You didn't like me.
I couldn't.
But Larry was here and he brought the meat.
No, dear. The helicopter's out of order.
Oh, Kevin, I am so hungry.
Well, I knew you'd be hungry when you woke up. So I'll make you an egg sandwich.
No. I want some meat.
But there isn't any.
There's plenty of meat.
Where, Millie?
All around you. Out there. There's deer. There's wild pig. Can't you smell it?
Oh, no, I... Millie...
Let me have the 405. We'll be able to feast.
You can't go... No, I... In the morning.
You can't hunt in the morning. All the night.
Darling.
That's the time.
Now listen, here are some pills to calm you.
Kevin, something's wrong with me. I don't know what. I say things I don't understand. I have urges. Oh, I can't even describe. Hold my hand.
Yes, yes, dear. What is it, darling? What is it?
Oh, my wrist! My wrist! It's burning! Oh, it's on fire!
What's the matter, Millie?
Look at her wrist.
Oh, that's a very ugly-looking irritation. How did you get it, Millie?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know. Oh, Uncle Bert, I don't know anything.
I'm out. Here.
Oh.
Now, Millie, you must try to be calm. Try, dear.
Yes, Uncle Bert, I'll try.
Now, tell me, how did you hurt your wrist?
I don't remember.
Try to remember.
You probably have an infection, some kind of bruise.
I don't have an infection. I'm not sick. I'm hungry. Do you understand? I'm hungry.
You want me, Dr. Jorgensen?
I'm all right. Bring the medical kit.
I'm hungry.
Well, the first thing we have to do is put a penicillin ointment on that bruise.
Jeez. Feverish, ravenous appetite for meat. Bruise on wrist. Could be anything. She could have scraped it against a bramble, anything.
Or an insect. Dr. Jorgensen, we have to get her out of here. Now, radio Larry. Tell him it's an emergency. We have to do something.
Don't lose your head.
Listen, Millie.
Oh, Kevin. Won't you get me something to eat?
Yes, dear, I will.
I have the medicines, Dr. Jorgensen.
Good.
Oh, Kevin, you don't love me.
I think we'd better put her to sleep. Hold your arm still, Millie,
no.
Dear.
No, you want to stop me. I'm going to bleed.
Hold her arm, Kevin.
No, stop.
I'm all right. I want to ask you a question.
Yes, Dr. Jorgensen.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Yes.
Where? When?
Once it was a man. He had invaded these holy grounds. He had stolen a jewel from the beast goddess.
Yes? Go on.
He then became a beast. He disappeared into the jungle, and he was never seen again.
Thank you, Amar. You may leave. This kind of superstition we can do without.
Maybe. And don't bite my head off. Maybe there's something to it.
Something to what?
To what he's saying. Oh, I know, I know. Primitive superstition. But look at us. You and me. Between us, we carry a considerable supply of the knowledge of the civilized world. Between us, we have degrees in medicine, anthropology, chemistry, sociology. Can we explain it?
Are you saying the legend is true, that Millie has offended the beast goddess, being punished?
I don't know what I'm saying. But look at her. Look how troubled, how agitated she is. She's flushed, breathing rapidly. She could burst through that sedative any minute.
Kevin, I'm so hungry.
Try to rest, darling.
I'm going to get on the radio.
The helicopter is out of order.
We're past all that. I'm going to speak with the hospital in Rio. I'll describe her symptoms. They'll arrange to get her there.
My wrist. Oh, my wrist. Oh.
Doctor.
It's burning.
Look at her wrist. Look at her wrist. Something's on it. Oh. It's a design. It's the shape of that bracelet.
Kevin, it's your imagination.
Is it? Look. Do you see that symbol? It's on every ornament worn by the goddess. The design decorates her dress.
It's just a raw, ugly scar with some very wavy lines.
But it's her sign. The sign of the beast goddess. The sign of the beast.
It could be a coincidence.
Do you believe that? I tell me, do you believe it?
Kevin, I don't know what to believe.
You've got a pretty good handful of advanced college degrees in that tent. Most of them in the sciences. And it's surprising how quickly knowledge abdicates in the face of the unknown terrors of the jungle. Can science be just a veneer also? I'll return shortly with Act Three. Hamlet said that there were more things under heaven and earth than were dreamed of in philosophy. Hamlet should be with us in a tent, deep in a South American jungle, amidst the ruins of an ancient temple, because there are more things than any of us can dream of.
Is she still asleep?
I think so.
She shouldn't be left alone.
I'll go back in the tent in a second. Dr. Jorgensen, I just had to find out. Were you able to radio the hospital?
Kevin, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, what's the difference?
My contact there, the chief of medicine, is due at 7.
Can't he be reached?
Kevin, he's returning from vacation. He's on the road. It's only 5 hours. Don't worry.
Poor Millie. You know, she really didn't mean any harm. And there are scads of this stuff lying around.
I know.
It's a pretty little thing. Who'd miss it? She didn't think it was stealing.
Kevin, don't talk as if...
As if what?
As if you believe this is the revenge of the beast goddess.
Can you rule it out?
Kevin!
If they can't send a copter for her, I'll carry her out of here on my back. Those damn drums, what are they saying?
Is it important?
I'm getting so jumpy. What are the drums saying?
Oh, nothing.
That isn't so, Dr. Jorgensen.
Why do you make an issue out of it?
Why do you refuse to tell me? Now, you can read those drums the way I can read a telegram. Now, what are you trying to keep from me?
It's just that I thought the agitated state you're in right now...
Well, don't make it worse. What are those drums saying?
Well, it has to do with revenge.
Revenge? What was that? Well, those are rifle shots.
Well, who'd be firing at this hour?
Come on. Millie! Millie! Well, she's gone.
She's got a rifle.
Amira, wake everybody up. Rouse the camp. We have to find Millie.
Millie. Careful now. Watch every footstep.
It's a good thing there's a moon.
Millie, where are you?
Those shots came from just about here.
Why did she go out?
Oh, let's quit pretending. You know why she went out. To hunt.
At night? Why?
Because she's hungry.
Oh, Kevin.
When are we going to face it? Admit it.
Mary. Mary, can't you hear us?
Look.
Where?
Oh, no. No, she can't be dead. Millie.
She seems to be breathing. There's blood all over her.
But it isn't her blood. She must have shot this deer and... Millie. Are you all right?
I feel so nice and warm.
Have you reached the doctor yet?
Yes, Kevin. They're sending a copter. It'll be here late this afternoon or tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's great.
They're doing the best they can.
Oh, sure.
I'll be reasonable.
Reasonable, huh? My wife is being destroyed before my eyes.
It seems there is, or they think that this might be a very unusual disease.
Oh, come on.
It's an infection. She might have picked it up from the bracelet.
What are you talking about?
It could have scratched her when she put it on.
And?
Well, it's been lying here for hundreds of years. All kinds of parasites, microorganisms. Anyhow, it seems this disease creates enormous cravings for protein.
And what does your man suggest?
Massive doses of penicillin.
Well, do we have enough?
I hope so. I'm Amar.
Yes, Dr. Jorgensen.
Bring me the medical chest.
Kevin.
She's awake. I'm coming, dear.
Kevin.
No, Millie. Now, lie still. Don't get up.
Oh, I feel so comfy.
How's your wrist?
My wrist? Oh, it's okay. It only hurts when I feel hungry.
And you're not hungry now?
No. Oh, you know, I had such a crazy dream. I better not tell you.
You've got to. You've aroused my curiosity.
You won't believe it.
You try me.
Don't laugh. Promise.
I promise.
Well, I dreamed I went out into the jungle alone at night. Oh, there's a picture for you. Imagine me alone in the jungle at night. Anyway, I dreamed I shot this, I think it was an antelope. Something like that.
Yes.
And I was so hungry, I ate it right there.
What a dream.
Oh, you know, I felt so full just before, but just talking about food seems to give me an appetite.
How about some tea and toast?
Tea and toast. Ooh, how about a nice chop? Or steak? Rare. Very rare.
Well, Larry's been unable to fly up the supplies.
Doesn't matter. I can go out and shoot.
Later, Millie. Later. You're not hungry now. Are you?
Oh, well, not very, but in a little while.
Okay. Then just a little while. Huh? Promised.
Okay, I promise.
Where have you been, Doctor? I've been waiting in the tent.
Don't leave her alone again, Kevin.
Where's that penicillin?
That's just the problem.
What problem? Look, we just can't have any more problems.
We do. The penicillin is gone.
That's impossible.
All the bottles of penicillin solution, all the tablets, gone.
But how? I don't know. Are any other supplies missing?
No, everything's here.
Kevin!
Go to her quickly.
The penicillin.
Amara brought me the chest. The drug was missing.
We have spares in the supply depot.
I looked. Gone from there, too.
Kevin! 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 I'm hungry! Oh, Kevin, you don't know! My stomach hurts! And my arms, it's on fire! Millie, everything will be all right. Sure, yes! Just let me take the 405 and shoot something! No, Millie, no. Kevin, I'm going! Millie, try to get some rest. I don't need rest! I need food! I need meat! Please, Millie, fly back. Rest! Take your hands off me! Millie! Let go of me! Help me! Somebody give me a hand!
Wait, I put the tire down. I'm all right. Get some rope.
Let go of me! Let go! Where's that damn helicopter?
He could never find us at night. It'll have to wait till morning.
I don't know if she can wait until morning. Listen, we don't have medicine. Let's try the other thing.
What other thing?
The legend. Maybe we can placate the goddess.
Kevin!
Is there anything else we can do? Now, there's something happening here. The penicillin is gone. How do you account for it?
He may have forgotten to pack it.
Nonsense. Last night, you said the drums were talking about revenge. Revenge for who? For what? And what are they saying tonight?
It's revenge.
Kevin! Come in here! I'm coming. I'm coming.
Kevin, I want the 405. Untie me.
No, Millie. Millie. What did you do with
it? Untie me.
What did you do with it? The bracelet. You didn't put it back, did
you? I'm hungry. I'll die, Kevin. I'll die.
I want to tell you. If you'd just tell me, where did you put the bracelet? I'll get you some meat.
Yes. Oh, Kevin, yes.
The bracelet. The bracelet.
This is my makeup kit. Oh, no, untie me. Let me hunt.
Where did you find the bracelet?
You promised to untie me.
Where did you find the bracelet?
I must go hunting. Oh, Kevin.
Where did you find the bracelet, Millie?
I didn't find it.
Tell me the truth or I'll never untie
it. I didn't find it.
I'll leave you here to starve.
Amara.
What about Amara?
I promised him I wouldn't tell.
What about Amara?
He gave me the bracelet. Oh, Kevin, untie me. Please, untie me.
Amara, you will tell us where you hid that penicillin, or I'll blow your brains out.
You may kill me. That's not the way.
Let me beat it out of him.
For the past 2 nights, Amara, the drums have talked of revenge. Whose revenge?
Mine.
Upon whom?
Millie.
For what reason?
She killed my only son.
How?
She made the gods jealous. She spoke of his beauty, his intelligence, his skills. The gods were angry.
Of course, but she didn't know any better.
It made no difference to my son. He died.
And your revenge?
I gave her a bracelet. I tricked her. I fooled her. I made her take it.
Where did you find the bracelet? So that we may return it with a suitable prayer and beg forgiveness from the goddess.
I will not say.
Stand aside, doctor. It's my turn.
You may kill me.
No, he won't kill you.
Who says I won't kill him?
Be quiet. No one will kill you. But I am a blood brother to your chief. I will tell him that you committed a sacrilege. I will tell him that you stole a bracelet from the goddess for an evil purpose. Now you may go, Amara.
What do you mean, he may go?
He'll be disgraced for life. His wife, his parents, his brothers and sisters, all will be driven from the village into the jungle. No one will speak to him. Why do you stay here, Amara? We have no further use for you. Oh, I believe we owe you a month's wages. Here, plus 2 weeks' notice.
The bracelet. It was taken. I took it from the arm of the statue of the goddess.
Now repeat this, Millie.
Why do I have to go through this mumbo-jumbo?
Oh, just do it, Millie.
Now place the bracelet on the wrist of the statue.
Ugly old girl, isn't she?
Millie.
Okay.
Now say, forgive my sin.
What sin? Okay. Forgive my sin. What else?
That's all. That says it.
Well, that's a relief. I must have been a trial to you boys. What happened to me anyhow? The way you were shooting penicillin into me.
How are you now, darling?
Okay, I guess. Oh, but I'm so hungry.
Hungry?
Starved.
For what? Meat?
Meat. Since when did I ever eat meat? Just point me at some tea and toast and salad and fruit. I might even have an egg.
Thank you.
It's always good not to put all your eggs in one basket. Always have another course of action in reserve. What cured Millie? The atonement before the goddess and the return of the bracelet? Or the penicillin? Or both?
This is Theyfola, the Butcher Dobashi. Please share, follow, and or subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on most of your major podcast platforms. I am also ordained, and I can marry you and give you all your blessing needs. Send your booking request to DobashiBookings@gmail.com. For all the links, go to LyricalSpit.com. Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com. Be sure to check out Murky Chronicles, drops every Friday. Hosted by yours truly, Theyfola, the Butcher Dobashi, and Kenny Roberts. With guests, stories, news on unexplained and bizarre happenings, you can listen on your favorite podcast platforms or just go to LyricalSpit.com for the latest shows and links.